Hello, everybody. Welcome to Artist Corner. I'm your host, Nolan Brewer, and today I'm joined by a special guest, Anthony Septon. If you're not familiar with this work, he's composed for the game Dreaming Sarah, along with its sequel, Awakening Sarah, and he also has his own music, such as his album Eternal Fog, which includes a lot of great songs that are inspired by the Silent Hill series. And before we begin, I just wanted to mention that today's episode is a written interview. Without further ado, let's begin. What's the story behind how you got onto Dreaming Sarah?
It's the kind of story you only see in fiction. Back in 2010, I got into computer-assisted music, and I decided to create a full album. I called it Toluca, as a tribute to Silent Hill. Once it was finished, I uploaded it to Jamendo, and after a few months, even though the feedback was great, I started feeling less and less proud of what I made, so I deleted the album. Later on, I realized I had been too extreme, and I ended up uploading Toluca to YouTube, telling myself that I should be proud of what I create, no matter what. One evening, I got a private message on YouTube. It was from Andre Silva, and he told me he had been trying to find me since I removed Toluca from Jamendo months ago. We talked a bit, and he asked me if I wanted to collaborate with him on Dreaming Sarah. And apparently, he'd been listening to my album nonstop while working on the game. So I said yes, of course. I was really happy about that. And my favorite part of this story is that I had actually composed Toluca as if I were making the soundtrack to a dream-themed horror game. And in a way, I really think it was meant to be.
Are you a self-taught musician and composer?
I am a self-taught composer. I don't play any instruments. I work entirely with a computer and a mouse. I have no formal training whatsoever. I just click around in my DAW and follow my intuition. The funny thing is, I can't even play my own compositions.
Did you get inspired by any games or media in particular for Dreaming Sarah?
Whether it's the Tolik album, which later became the official soundtrack for Dreaming Sarah, or the extra tracks I composed during development, I was solely inspired by Akira Yamaoka. What's funny thing is that a lot of people still think I was influenced by Yumeniki, even though I had never heard of the game at the time.
How long was the overall development of the game?
Since I wasn't the developer of Dreaming Sarah, I hope I'm not mistaken, but I believe it took around 5 years. Andre Silva was working on it all by himself, and it definitely wasn't an easy ride for him.
Did you help out with any other aspects besides the music?
Unlike Awakening Sarah, where I was lucky enough to have a bigger say in the decisions, you can thank me for that, because Andre wanted the game to be extremely hard. I'm joking, of course. I was more in the background for Dreaming Sarah, but Andre always kept me updated with the developments. However, I must confess, the idea for the suicidal pianist who asks Sarah to bring him a billet gun, that was mine. I use this moment to share the story behind the track Suicidal Pianist. I had fallen asleep in front of my laptop, and in my dream, I heard a piano melody. Suddenly, I woke up, rushed to my door, and clicked on the notes with my mouse. I had to hurry, or I knew the dream would fade from my mind. I swear, sometimes part of me feels like it wasn't even me who wrote that music.
Do you get inspired by things outside of games and other media, such as places or people?
Oh, absolutely. Ryoshi Sakamoto, for example, is a huge source of inspiration for me. Sure, he did compose a video game soundtrack, Lack of Love on Dreamcast, which is actually how I first discovered him. But above all, he was a legendary composer throughout his entire life, from film scores to personal albums, and even just the person he was, he really inspires me. I'm also fascinated by Japan, its history, its culture, of course video games, anime, but there are so many Japanese artists I absolutely love. Lately, I've been going back through Nujabes' discography, and on a completely different note, I'm really into brutalism art. It's both fascinating and a little unsettling at the same time. And to be honest, being ADHD, when I fixate on something, I can stay obsessed for months. It's wild.
Would you say inspiration is the most important thing when making music or art?
I believe inspiration is the most essential element when it comes to creating art. Personally, if I don't have an idea in my mind, something that sparks a fire in my heart, I just can't compose. Inspiration is the fuel behind the greatest works, in my opinion. My wife is passionate about cooking. She's always searching for new inspiration to improve her dishes. I'm passionate about music, and without inspiration, I just sit in front of my laptop and nothing happens. That's why I believe that no matter how advanced artificial intelligence becomes, it will never truly reach what a human being can create. Because there's no emotion, and without emotion, inspiration simply can't exist.
Are you a fan of Yume Nikki or any other RPG Maker games?
I have actually never played Yume Nikki. As I said earlier, a lot of people think I was inspired by that game when I composed the soundtrack for Dreaming Sara. That said, I listened to the music from Yume Nikki and Tuki for the first time this year, and I absolutely love it. On another note, Omori deeply moved me. That game truly broke my heart, and I think it might be my favorite indie game at the moment.
What do you do outside of games or music?
I love spending time with my friends, having few beers, laughing and sharing those unique moments that social media just can't capture. I'm lucky to be married to a Swiss woman, and thanks to her, I've had the chance to discover some beautiful places in Switzerland and make amazing friends there. I'm not a big traveler, but I really enjoy being on the road to explore new places. Living in France makes that easy. I'm actually planning a trip to Belgium soon. Eating, discovering new things, and spending time with my family and my friends, that's what I do outside of games and music.
Would you say that you put a lot of your own life experiences into your art?
In everyday life, I'm a bright, positive person. I love to laugh. I like to see the good in things. My favorite color is yellow. I just love life. But when it comes to music, I pour all my darker emotions into it. Everything I can express with words or my voice ends up in the sound.
Your music seems to get added to a lot of Dreamcore or Liminal playlists. What's your take on this internet aesthetic?
I wasn't really aware of that at first, and yet I really love internet aesthetics. Here in France, we are lucky to have a YouTuber named Feldup. He's very popular, and his videos reach millions of people. It was through him that I realized just how much the internet can be a form of art in itself. So knowing that Madrigal and Solitude ended up in those kinds of playlists to make me genuinely happy, especially since that was never intentional. It all happens naturally.
What are your favorite albums?
That's such a tough question, so instead I'll try to share a list of albums and soundtracks that I truly cherish with all my heart. When it comes to video games, the Silent Hill 2 soundtrack, Persona 4 Golden, Ridge Racer Type 4, Lack of Love, Jet Set Radio, Jet Set Radio Future, and Zelda Skyward Sword. Outside of video games, I'd say From Mars to Sirius and Magma by Gojira, Time by Kanabun, Movements by Solar Fields, he also composed the soundtracks for Mirror's Age, and See the Sound by Etranim.
Were you surprised that the two most popular songs for the game are Solitude and Madrigal?
I was already surprised that the Dreaming Sara soundtrack was so well received. So just imagine how I felt about Solitude and Madrigal. You have to understand, those were my very first compositions. I had no idea about mixing or mastering. I mean, there was literally no mix, no mastering, no plugins. It was completely raw. So realizing that these two tracks end up becoming the face of my discography, it honestly shocked me and moved me deeply at the same time.
Could you explain why it's named Madrigal?
I've thought a lot about this. The fact that Madrigal is my most well-known composition makes his story even more tragic. It's one of my most personal creations, and of course, I never accepted it to be so widely listened to and appreciated. I can't say much more, but Madrigal is a piece about sadness, about one of the most exciting periods of my life, about something I know I will never experience again in this lifetime.
Did anything in particular inspire those songs?
As for Madrigal, I'd rather not say more, but Solitude to me is now just a fragment of my past. It represents a time in my life when I felt incredibly alone. I had no job, I was no longer in school, and I had completely lost track of time. Solitude is me, lying on my bed, staring out the window, hoping things will change. And yes, things did change. I can listen this track with a smile now.
Did you get to see the levels beforehand? If so, what kind of questions do you ask yourself when composing for a level?
Not really, even though about 60% of the tracks were already composed. Since the Dreaming Sarah soundtrack mostly comes from my first album, I wrote the rest without really knowing what they'd be used for. Andre would say things like, "Yeah, I love this one, I'm keeping it," or "I like this one a bit less." I can't say it was difficult, I had a lot of creative freedom. I didn't really overthink it, I just told myself I had to stay in the same atmosphere as Toluca.
Do you do a lot of sound design in your music?
Sound design is so important, but I have to admit I've never really done any myself.
What synths do you use to create more spacious pads?
For Dreaming Sarah, I worked on Magix and used the VST Revolta 2 and Vita. I composed the entire soundtrack using just those two, and to be honest, I still use them a lot today. But how do I create bigger, more spacious pads? I have no idea myself.
I wanted to ask about how you get your drums to be punchy and clear when using samples. Especially in ambient music, I feel that it's tricky to mix with the lower end pads. I love your drums.
Thank you so much for this compliment. Well, if you watch me mixing my music, you'd see a monkey pressing all the buttons, hoping it sounds good. I have no explanation for it because I do everything by intuition. I think that's the best answer I can give, but also the worst one.
Do you use any hardware instruments?
Nope, just my brain.
Do you have any practical music advice?
I am not a big producer, but I do have one piece of advice. Life's too short to keep your compositions locked away in a file. Today, there are so many ways to share your music, so don't wait and dare to hit the publish button.
What is something you couldn't live without as a musician or composer?
My ears. We neglect our hearing health too much, and it's a taboo in the music world. Take care of your ears. Without them, you could consider the best DAW in the world as completely useless.
If you could tell yourself one thing in the past, what would it be?
To my past self, you will be really, really happy.
What's a game or piece of media you would love to compose for if you had the opportunity?
In my wildest dreams, a Silent Hill, even though I think that's out of my league. But on a more down-to-earth note, I'd love to compose for something like Humanity 2Key. I think I could create some really beautiful thing for it.
Do you have any advice for anyone who feels stuck in music or in life?
I'd like to tell those who feel stuck in music or in life that there are many paths to climb a mountain. Don't be afraid to release your music. Don't be afraid to try new things. After all, if we don't try, all we'll have is regrets. So it's not always easy, but just do it. Thank you so much for this interview. Merci beaucoup.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode, everyone. I just wanted to say thanks, Anthony, for joining me. I had a lot of fun asking you these questions, and I hope everyone listening could learn something. And yeah, you can find Anthony's work on all major streaming platforms, such as Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, all that good stuff. And you can also follow Anthony on Instagram and other places as well. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good day.